guys, welcome back to Pods and Rec. This is episode 10. I'm Tammy.
I'm Stephanie.
Here I am.
Oh, I'm Brad.
Hi, I'm Andy.
Andy's here with us. He's our guest for the week. He's
Wait, am I staying here?
The whole week.
The whole week.
You didn't bring your stuff?
I should call someone.
I should notify my family.
Just bring your toothbrush.
Hey, I'm not 127 hours. I'm just staying at my friend's house. We're recording a whole week of podcast.
You may or may not be one less hand whenever you get back there, just so you know.
Oh, it's like Fallujah in this bitch.
I was going for more of a misery thing. Dig out your legs.
Yeah, it could just be one less limb.
You can never go back.
But I could still, like, run away. I'd just be bummed out.
Next on Pods and Rec, just Andy screams.
I feel like we opened very morbidly this time.
Straight
Andy
chilling.
Is...
We're straight chilling right now.
God damn it, stop plugging your other podcast.
Is that wrong?
We've talked about it before.
We allow it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Save it for time. Later.
Man, fuck those guys. And me.
Oh, you just fucked yourself.
Happens every day.
Nice.
I feel like we need to preface first. Andy has all of his limbs. He
you don't
is
know
a
that.
Perfectly healthy.
Have you
right
seen
now.
Him completely naked? Because you don't know that.
I might have a few extraneous limbs that you don't know about.
Exactly.
Ooh. You don't know my life.
Yeah. Don't make assumptions, dude.
You got like a secret twin attached to you somewhere?
Oh, man. If only. Dude, double votes. Vote twice.
Is that where
that's like the biggest
that's
perk?
That's the biggest perk.
That's the biggest perk of having a twin. Did you get
Donald
to
Trump twice?
Oh god!
This episode did take a very dark turn.
No, I just took it to the darkest place I could think of.
Andy and his growth, Randy.
The Trump supporter.
Could be Andy and Tandy.
Oh, God. I like that.
Andy and Tandy.
Our next podcast venture is just me talking to myself as Randy.
You're a triplet now. Andy, Randy,
listen to that.
But Andy, what about the proletariat?
We're going to let Andy run this podcast because he's already way funnier
than
myself.
You're a pro, Andy.
What
just say
one it. Yingling gets you.
Oh my god, don't give him another.
It's just incoherent, just like.
It sounds like Bumblebee in the Transformers. You know? The channel keeps changing.
I forgot that he was like pieced together from radio stations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I only remember that because I recently had a conversation with Transformers, which I do not care for. But anyway, that's a different podcast.
Well, we've had complaints that we barely talk about the episodes. We talk about everything other than the episodes.
Hey,
so.
Fuck those complaints.
Yeah, you know who you are.
Make your own goddamn podcast. You're so goddamn smart.
Yeah, that's why we need our bully over here, Andy, to take care of it.
Oh, you want me to throw these guys out? I don't know what I'm talking about anymore.
I like having a podcast bodyguard.
Yeah,
pretty cool.
Bodyguard.
Are you gonna be faster?
That comes out weirder than I thought.
Anything else? You hear that, detractors? We don't care.
Yeah. The trick Chilling found is no one cares if you have listeners.
Yeah.
That's the whole game. Who cares about your listeners? Just
so,
do it for you and make it terrible and
so the
punish
point,
the listeners that you have.
Yeah.
The point of podcasts is do it for yourself and alienate all the viewers.
Oh, yeah, it's a selfish act entirely.
We've been...
It's kind of like a narcissistic...
Changing our tune right now.
Guys,
fuck you guys.
So
guys, you need to go more hedonist on this shit. Make it about you.
Just
talk about your day. Go Kardashian.
We do talk about
we
our day.
We do talk about
our
day. And when I do, I talk like this.
Okay, good.
In question form. Everything's
actually,
a question.
You were supposed to talk in an accent this time, so you were like a guest.
That's what
I said last time.
Oh, man.
Well, we scrapped that idea, so.
Until you don't know when.
Yeah. That's week, we have a special guest, Shammy. It's Shammy and Randy.
What?
Hey, guys!
I realized this past weekend that I'm terrible at doing a German accent, but our friend, and I can't remember his name, Aaron brought him up. His name was Brad! That's right, because he was Brad number two.
Yeah,
he said,
no association.
And this, I'll forever know how to do a German accent now, because he said you can go one of two ways with a German accent. It's either, like, angry Hitler accent, like, 999, or you could be, like, a fancy gay German, like, oh, this is so fluffy.
Something vaguely sexual.
Yeah.
So, boy, would you like some hamburger?
So at one point, I had to do a sexy German accent and have a bag on my head for at least 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
To what end?
Yeah, let's preface what exactly was going on this weekend.
This is just a regular Friday night for me.
Brad and I, for a friend of ours' birthday, we created a homemade board game, and it's like a night, like it's all like a medieval theme.
Okay.
And so whoever's in first place, whoever's closest to the end is the king, and they, like, we can't look at them.
The peasants aren't allowed.
You're going to have to look at them.
You have to call them my lord.
My lord.
He has a little Nerf gun that he can shoot people with.
The person in last place is the beer bitch, and they have to wear a bag over their head.
The bag.
And it's got, like, holes cut out and a sad face.
A little frowny face.
But at least it's, like, a mouth hole, so you can still drink.
Everyone knows the beer bitch is a beloved medieval character.
And Tammy was forever in last. She was like, I got it this time, I'm going to roll a 12. And she's like, 3.
Been there.
It was the saddest night of my life.
Yeah, but there's another, like, a couple of cards that you can draw. We have to update it because there's a lot of repeats, but there's a card that you can draw where you have to speak in the accent.
Booster pack?
For one whole round.
An expansion, yeah. We need to work on that.
We do need... Yeah, I think I'm going to start
patenting this shit. Make it real.
Oh yeah, that's what that was. Tone's
Dunshire, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
go for it. Ooh. Hey, how's? I just found this segue over here. You guys want to use it?
A segue into how your week was.
Is that the next thing? I'm sorry.
That's what we're kind of talking about. How was your week?
Yeah, so
my week was fucking shitty.
We can skip through it.
That's fine. My dog died, so it was a shitty week,
So we really started off on a high note here, talking about amputating people's arms and legs, dog deaths. I'm sorry, man. That's sad.
It's extremely sad.
Pulling out for Helen.
But, you know what's not sad? The segue is found over here. To Parks and Rec.
Oh, great. This is amazing.
How many segues are over
there? I don't know. You guys hoard them.
That's amazing.
You just keep pulling them out of your pocket.
I don't know.
I thought you had a car.
No, it's just 4 segues strapped together.
Kind of easy there.
Who rides the other segues?
It doesn't matter. I just tipped him forward a little bit. We go 40 miles an hour down the freeway. Perfect.
You're basically just like laying parallel to the ground.
Yeah, pretty much.
Extreme lean.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're down here in Florida, loving the non-blizzard life.
Yeah. Sorry, everybody else. It actually feels kind of nice out today.
I'll be honest with you.
I went outside. It was beautiful.
We did have some snow flurries yesterday, didn't we?
Did you guys see them?
I did not personally.
No. It was earlier in the morning.
I think they were rogue.
People on Facebook were all posting it, and they're all people that I know aren't originally from Jacksonville or Florida. And it made me upset because I put in the time, damn it.
To live in Florida.
I deserve to see Florida snow.
Deserve it.
You did leave for that short amount of time, so. Maybe you maybe that affected it.
I guess. I don't know. You talking about Baltimore?
Yeah.
Yeah, being in Baltimore, that was fine, but it was mostly just me struggling to stand on icy sidewalks.
I didn't really enjoy it.
It just made my hips hurt a lot.
I definitely fell quite a few times, especially in front of Micah. There's on one part of where all the students live. Mm-hmm. Where the commons are, there's a cobblestone path, and I'm thinking oh yeah, this should be totally easy. No, it's not traction at all. So I understand now why people mostly were walking in the street.
That's true.
I just figured everyone was lying. It could have totally been bonfire ash because so many people have bonfires when it gets cold. Bonfire ash. You lie.
Oh, I can't tell if I'm
usually ash doesn't melt into water.
Andy, shut up.
I'm just saying the typical situation scientifically.
You are not a chemist.
So I guess whenever I imagine people walking down icy sidewalks, I imagine them almost doing like a Spider-Man type crawl down it and just not fall on their face.
You look really cool doing it.
Do you often crawl in the snow?
I mean, yeah, if I was going to bust my ass if I didn't.
I was crawling like Spider-Man, it'd be more than my hips hurting.
Yeah, but then you might have a different problem where you will just, like, starfish, like, completely flat, all limbs out.
You have at least 3 points of contact. You're good.
You know who's really got their snow navigation figured out? It's fucking penguins, man.
Yeah.
You just need to put something on your belly and just skid your ass down to the station.
Maybe that's what we need to do, just develop, like a custom jacket for the winter that has, like, a nice little... belly.
Oh, I don't know.
Patent it. Doing it.
I mean, they got shoes that have wheels in it.
Can we take this whole part out so that I can patent it tomorrow?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to just bleep it out.
I just saw Joy, so I'm emboldened with all my shitty ideas.
What are you?
Yeah, I heard that movie wasn't very good.
Hey.
It was fine.
If anything, life would be a lot more fun, you know, doing something like that. Beats walking.
Beats walking.
Yeah.
And you know, beats walking is sitting.
Yeah. Moving right along, straight into that, you know, you want to sit more. Today we watched season 2, episode 13, The Setup. It aired January 14th, 2009. The synopsis is, Anne sets Leslie up on a blind date with a rude MRI technician. And Mark becomes jealous because he thinks Anne is saving another prospect for Leslie for herself. Meanwhile, Tom helps Ron find an assistant.
Your date is a lie. It happened in 2010.
Oh, I did. I read the wrong one.
Oh, snap.
This is our first episode of 2010. Bringing it back.
Yeah,
you know.
It's life in a pre-Adele world.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Man, dark times.
How old was she? Like 17?
I don't know. What album did she put out? 4? 5?
Yeah.
In a pre-Adele world.
Oh. So does she, like, her albums, are they just named after, like, the album number? Or
they're named after her age.
Her age, when she
when she recorded
she was
or
4
written,
whenever she wrote.
Whatever.
No, I made that up.
Oh.
So. No, that's real.
4 is an album?
Wait, no. What?
No, what you're saying is real, but
yeah,
there's no album called 4.
Oh, no,
she
no, no.
When she's
like, no, absolutely not.
She's not
no
that prodigious.
Adele.
No.
She's intense.
You're insinuating she's semi-pretentious.
Just,
what? I'm not insinuating anything. I like it, though.
Me too.
What is your relationship with Parks and Rec in general?
Complicated. No,
it's complicated.
It's fine. It's,
did
I
you,
like,
have you watched it all the way through?
Yeah, I've seen it through. I've seen it all the way through once, but I like, before the last couple seasons came out, I definitely watched through the first, you know, whatever, 3, 4, mm-hmm, 5 maybe, 1 or 2 maybe, maybe up to 4 times, depending on how early the season
okay
is.
So
I've seen season 2 quite a bit, and that's when I think it really picked up steam.
Did you start watching it when it first aired, or did you watch it later?
I watched the episode, like the pilot episode, on TV, and then I think I just sort of kind of caught it as it came. For a while, and it was really season 2 where I started like, okay, I want to watch this weekly. It was right after I had come back from Mike, as a matter of fact, so I had cable access and actually a TV, really. Mm-hmm. So, like, my options seemed flush, but I wanted to watch this, and it was during that really great NBC comedy block that they had,
mm-hmm,
with The Office, and Community was just starting up, or maybe the season after this that happened, but...
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was a pretty good block for somebody who was in college and bored and broke. So
yeah, I absolutely 100% agree.
So.
Keep in mind, Tammy hasn't watched season 7 yet.
Not yet.
Not.
I haven't. I've seen the first episode.
They renamed it Parks and Rec.
Oh, yeah, all right. After Jerry.
Yes.
I'll get there, guys.
Is he Jerry
one
at this
day
point? Larry, Barry.
I don't know. At this point,
well,
though, I'm kind of sad because I got a little bit of time on my hands now, and I want to watch the 7th season, but I've already committed to you guys that I'll watch it for the first time.
Did you commit?
Doing the podcast.
Yes. All right.
And, you know,
yeah, I really want to get your, like, pure...
A lady has to keep her word, or I'm not a lady anymore.
Wow. Strict rules on that, and the legislation is not forgiving.
I really want to get your pure reaction
to... Like gender swapping.
Yeah.
If she washes it beforehand, she's no longer a lady.
So one of the first things that I noticed in this episode is that Ron's hair has officially grown back.
Okay.
Since the episode, one of the episodes before is the hunting episode.
Oh, yeah.
Where they show at the very end that he's shot in the head.
Shot in the head.
But they show, like, in the next episode after that, that he's, like, missing his hair and he's got, like, all these little bandages
back
and stuff. So I just noticed that when they showed the back of him that it's officially grown back.
The first thing I noticed about this episode is that in the parks department, there's a mounted raccoon head on the wall. Which I found to be really fucking bizarre.
Well, no, that's actually pretty funny because they constantly talk about how terrible the raccoons are. In the previous episode, they said that they'll start hunting the children for sport.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe, like, the raccoon problem in Pawnee is, like, a pretty well-used callback throughout the series, I think. Yeah, so, I guess it makes sense, but I just saw it and I was like, that's a strange thing to put on your wall.
Yeah. That's pretty funny. I like that they seem to pay attention to all the details of what, you know, they make fun of.
Uh-huh. I feel they like do the have pigeons a lot of... have kind of died down, though. I wonder if they kind of, like, you know, interchange them a little bit with raccoons slowly.
This season's all about the raccoons, guys.
Between this the and, raccoon like, year. Community, which was, like, early Community, both of these shows really took careful consideration of, like, background props and stuff like that, which I don't think I'd ever seen really in a comedy before Arrested Development, and I think these are the only other two that really do it that way, where it's, like, subtle jokes that you'll see involved with the set pieces.
Yeah, like it that. Just makes the show better.
Yeah, it's just it's a note of, like, quality that people are paying attention on all levels of the show on how they're creating it.
Yeah.
Agreed. So, the other thing that we really liked in the very beginning was all the people complaining in Ron's office.
Yeah, so Ron has people visiting him due to government officials needing to be more accessible to the public.
There is a disturbing lack of benches in Rancid Park. I want to sit more.
Another thing I like is the layout of the hiking trails.
I made this in one of your pottery classes. It's terrible.
This is my hell.
I like that guy who says, I want to sit more. I feel like that's me in 40 years. That's me. He's yelling at a guy because I just want to sit more. So far, in more varied places throughout a park.
Right. You need more benches in more places. There's not enough. I want to sit more.
Part of the translation is lost in recording it, though, because the guy's face is furious. I salute that actor. Good for you, sir.
Apparently, that's you in a couple years. Yeah, so well, peek into the future.
I gotta, you know, work out my whole time machine business. But yeah.
That's seriously one of my favorite things about the show is that they have, when they have like an outsider, or, like a townsperson come in, they always have the most ridiculous complaints ever. So that's one of my favorite things, just compiling all the things I complain about. Like the dude that, or the lady that complained that she found a sandwich in the park, and there was no mayonnaise.
There was no mayonnaise on it.
Where was the mayonnaise?
She was like, I'm going to sue you for that. Mm. Yeah, that like, they really, that's basically, Parks and Rec does this thing, and I'm sure you guys have talked about it, where they just give the actor sometimes free reign to list stuff, and like make basically listicles of comedy ideas. It's just really quickly off the cuff seeming stuff. And this is like the multiple actor equivalent of that, where they'll occasionally have like crazed townspeople and all that stuff. I love that shit. This show does that better than any other show I've ever seen attempt it.
Agreed. I always want to know how much of that is just improvised and how much of that is actually scripted. Because a lot of Amy Poehler's little rants that she does, it sounds very improvised.
Yeah. Well, I know they definitely improvised on the set. I feel I listened to somebody's, maybe it was Aziz on a podcast recently getting interviewed, and he was asked that question, and he was like, you know, a lot of it's just we stick to the script, but when you get those list moments, that's really your chance to go, you know, all out and say some crazy shit.
Yeah, kind of where it's like quick edited, like one thing after another.
Yeah, if you've got a lot of things to cover and you're just sort of like rambling them off and they're just gonna be edited together anyway, why not slip in some bullshit and see how it flies? Perfect.
Usually it seems like it works out pretty well.
I wonder how much is on the cutting room floor, though. That's what I always wonder. I have seen some of the blooper reels, and they are hilarious. Some of the stuff they have to cut, mostly for
it's like, how vulgarity's do they decide? Sake. Mm-hmm.
Another thing that I really liked about this episode was that whenever it pans over to April, that she's filling the printer one page at a time after Jerry tells her to put it in there. She's like, Jerry told me to do this. And of course, her sassy self, she would just do it one page
at
a time. She
just cares so much.
Has April and Jerry at this point, you guys have been watching it in order and I haven't seen this in a while. Have they really interacted much before this episode?
They're starting to see more of like how irritated of it they don't really like him. We've talked about Jerry quite a few times, so there's been a couple of episodes where he's like trying so hard to fit in and they're all just like, oh man, screw Jerry, or you know, like Jerry does one little thing, messes up, and Leslie screams, "Let's all pretend that Jerry was never bored." Things like that, where you're just like,
"So he's definitely the whipping boy at this point."
Oh yeah,
April like becomes sort of like the main proponent. Her and Tom, mostly Tom actually, but the two of them as a dream team really lay into Jerry constantly. So I was just wondering if they had interacted directly.
We're getting there.
Yeah,
this is probably a good stepping stone of getting there.
Yeah,
it's been building it up.
Kind of the beginning of that budding relationship between
the
three of them, honestly.
The greatest relationship ever put on film, I have to say.
So this episode kind of revolves around Anne setting Leslie up on a date. And I just have to say, I'm kind of sad that there was no real goodbye sequence between Leslie and Officer Dave. We didn't really get that. It was kind of like, at dinner, short and sweet, he said he was moving, and she said she couldn't go. And that was it.
I remembered it being more substantial than that.
No, the last episode was the Christmas scandal, and he basically says that he has to leave and move to California, and she's just like, "I can't go." And that's it. They just break up.
Well, I mean, Louis couldn't be available for every
episode. He had to be Louis.
Man has to go do his shit.
Yeah, I didn't remember that there was, like, there wasn't really any, you know, she just kind of jumped from the one to the next.
Yeah.
And there's been some, like, chunk of time that it's passed. So we don't really know.
Yeah.
So, in this episode, you know, Leslie back on the dating scene. I mean, it seems like, I wouldn't imagine Leslie being a person that has to jump, like, immediately to another relationship. So, I would think that there was definitely a substantial amount of time in between Officer Dave and then now.
I think, like, she was reluctant at first, but when she met Justin, who was our introduction to Justin, played by Justin Theroux, I believe.
Yes.
he kind of, like, spurs her on, and she brings it up with Anne, "I want to start dating again, and I'm thinking about this guy Justin," and Anne says no, because her plot of this whole episode is basically that she has him sort of on deck for if Mark doesn't work out.
Right.
I don't think she realizes it. Like, that's kind of the writing.
I think she does, because she's a little bitch.
Okay, all right.
What is your, like, how do you feel about Anne?
My Anne stance?
Yeah.
I don't hate Anne. I don't hate Anne. She provides a pretty vital role as a straight man to Leslie and to other characters, but when they spend a lot of time and effort building her, like, relationships with other people and giving her things to do with other people that really don't tie in any significant way, and a lot of times anyway, and really, like, she ends up being the straight man either for everybody or in a, like, her and Mark are basically like a straight man relationship, which doesn't lead to comedy very easily. Like, they're both fairly pithy on their own, but I don't know. I like Anne. I think that, what's her name? Rashida Jones deserved a little bit, you know, more diverse writing for that character.
Yeah,
I could agree with that. I think she definitely is better than what the character they wrote for her.
She's like,
she's necessary. She's definitely necessary for this. She just drove me insane in this episode. Not only because of the Mark thing, but, like, she's seriously the worst nurse ever.
Yeah, she's like, never at work.
She's like, and then
she is a mess in this episode.
She takes a vial of blood.
Oh,
like,
yeah. And then it's somebody else's prescription.
It's like, you're seriously the worst nurse ever.
Hey, but at least that proves that she does work at some point.
I guess, yeah.
She had to go to the hospital at some...
Yeah, I did write one note about Anne, and it is the three words, and it is, "Anne be basic."
Anne be basic. It's true, she is very basic.
That's pretty accurate.
There was a scene where she was just drinking a latte, and I was like, yeah, she's like the latte of the world. She's just pretty plain.
Lattes used to be hip, man.
Deep thoughts with Brad. The latte of the world.
And you latte.
Oh, that was also like when they had that conversation about Justin, and she's all reluctant towards Leslie. That's when we get the twins.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So Leslie describes her ideal man.
He has the brains of George Clooney in the body of Joe Biden.
But does George Clooney have brains?
Smart.
Depends on who you ask.
Yeah.
Maybe her setup wasn't far off because of George Clooney was in ER, so it was like doctor.
She does have one stipulation though, of
who her ideal man is.
I don't want to date a twin because I've been tricked before. Okay.
Just want to throw that one out twins. There.
I like that one. Gotcha. I told that we our friends, the twins, who are on our podcast, Straight Chilling, weekdays at 8.
every weekday?
Every week.
That's a lot of podcasts.
Live stream on Fox News. yeah, really. No, I brought that up to them one night when drinking, and they watched the show, but I don't know if they remember this episode, and I was like, it's like that, like, I don't even remember, they're a couple of twins, like, twin dudes.
They're pretty hard to tell the difference unless you really know them.
Yeah, I know, I can agree. Tell, but it took me a little bit of time. Anyway, but I was like, I made that joke to them, I was like, oh, it's that Parks and Rec episode, and I described it to them, and they went, huh, and they were like, really, like, that's fucking hilarious, Gaddis.
Do you think twins, like...
It's funny to me. I haven't heard it my entire life. So,
so yeah, do twins like probably hate twin jokes?
Probably. And I probably should have read that. But
oh my god, you're a twin! Yeah, I totally forgot.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
I always forget. You and Steven. I don't really like twins.
So. Yeah, I do have a twin brother named Steven, and I we always got really irritated because people would always ask us if we're identical. And it's like, I do not have a penis, so no, we're not identical. We seriously got that question our entire lives. And we look kind of similar, except he's, like, almost a foot taller than me. Uh-huh. And he's different coloring. Look, he has blue eyes. I have brown.
He's a black man.
So then would no male-female twin birth ever be considered identical? Because you're anatomically not identical? Correct.
Or, all right. Anatomicals. All we're going on.
And every time I say that to people, I'm like, no, because we're male and female, they're always like, oh, right. They always like, at themselves, like, oh, God. Why did I ask that?
I never really thought about it like that.
Yeah, people always ask, you know, are you identical? Oh, you have a twin? Can you hear him?
I guess so. That's pretty lucky for you, because if you know that that's a situation that could come up, when it happens, you got to be like, yeah, I'm about to be on top of this conversation. I'm about to be the dominant.
You're going to be like, suck it.
Yeah. I'm about to have the high ground, and they're going to have to listen to whatever bullshit I say next and smile. Yeah.
But as a twin, whenever I know that there are identical twins, I try so hard to not be that person. Like, I want to make sure that I know them separately completely, because of a lot of people, you know, dress twins exactly the same. My brother and I have almost identical names, which was so frustrating growing up because of they would always shorten our names, Stevens with a PH. And so they would put, like, Steph Garza on everything, and I got in trouble once when I was at school, like, people will just shorten things, like, for, like, files and stuff, because they only want to see, like, the last name, really.
Yeah.
I got in trouble in school one time, and they said I was like, suspended for something, brought me into the office, and I was like, I didn't do that. Like, I don't even remember what it was.
What did Steven do?
I think it was, like, his grades were bad or something.
He, like, burned a child.
Yeah, I don't even know. It wasn't, like...
He punched a lunch lady.
He's in jail.
This isn't kosher!
But I feel like that's not even the worst of it, because your social security number...
Oh, God, I forgot about that one.
Oh.
Whenever I went to go change my name, I had to go to the Social Security office whenever we got married. Oh, man. And so whenever I sat down, and it's supposed to be, like, it's a long wait, you know, when you're sitting there, but it's supposed to be pretty easy. You just make sure, as long as you have the documentation, it's easy. So they go to pull up my information, and they're like, is your name Steven? And I was like, no. And they had it mixed up. Apparently, it's common with twins that whenever your parents file for Social Security, if a name is very similar, the system will automatically be like, well, this was an accident. So they'll give them one number. So at one point when Steven and I were kids, we had one Social Security number. And so I'm sitting there flipping out because she's like, did you work at this place? Did you do this? Did you do that? I'm like, no, that was all Steven. And they had all of our information completely jumbled together. So Steven and I were in the system as one person.
Off the grid and the matrix.
I know.
Damn.
And it took, and of course this day, it's like super early in the morning. It's like 7 in the morning because I had to go to work. And I like try calling Steven. Steven doesn't wake up till like 2 in the afternoon.
My kind of guy.
It's like the one time my mom was like away from her phone because she had to do something super early. And I was like, I need to know if he has another number. And so finally, she called back like an hour later after I'm sitting there with this woman just pulling apart our information, trying to remember exactly. Luckily, Steven and I are pretty close, so I knew like a lot of his like work history and everything, but it was a nightmare. Turned out that my mom did catch on when they were sending the numbers back. A lot of people, they don't really. Mm-hmm. So she did correct that when we were young, and they just, for some reason, it was in the system still as 0-1, so we have separate numbers.
Are you suggesting the system does not work?
That's a whole other podcast. How dare you?
This is your PSA to not have twins.
That's my conspiracy theory. No, now I warn everybody, if you have twins, please name them something not so incredibly
similar.
Although that is something that I've, like, I've been that way, obviously, my entire life, but it's something I kind of, like, really am attached to with my identification, you know, that Steven and I are so similar. But now that that's why one of the reasons why I kept my last name, that I have two last names, because I was like, I feel like I'm kind of like breaking up with Steven, you know? Aww. So.
You went out with your brother?
No, that's not exactly what that meant, so.
Please!
I'll just cut it out.
She is the master of cuts.
So that's my my twin rant.
Twin rant.
And we're done.
And so we're dropping the mic. We're out. This episode was actually really great. We met Justin yep. Thoreau. Andy, you're not a big fan of Justin, though. I heard a comment of, like, not really sure about that guy.
Justin Thoreau is an actor, so I'm fine with that.
Right. But I mean, Justin Thoreau in this...
Well, no. Some of it is sort of, like, forward-thinking to later episodes that he's in.
Mm. Yeah.
But just watching him, like, when I first watched it, I was kind of like, okay, he's a guy. Like, I didn't get much character out of him.
Yeah.
He's, like, he was pure straight man, like, 100%. And, you know, he's a nice guy, does what he's supposed to, and, his only characteristic is he, you know, has been to many places and seen many different things and tells stories about them.
But in this episode in general, you don't really get a lot of that.
Yeah.
No.
You kind of get a feel for it.
Yeah, he's a civil litigator, and he wears a suit that's too big for him.
Yeah.
And he's been to a couple places.
And he has weird hair.
And he points. Yeah. He's like, Justin, and points at himself. Mm-hmm.
That's an odd thing to do, actually.
Oddly. Mm-hmm. Oddly.
Who's that? We don't know.
Guess we'll have to keep listening.
Ha-ho. Keep that carrot on that stick.
So Leslie's obviously attracted to Justin. I mean, who wouldn't be unless you're Andy Gaddis?
And Andy
Dwyer.
It's an Andy thing. Let's not get this confused.
Because, you know, he's handsome. He may have a Tyler hairline, but, you know, those eyebrows are on fleek.
Oh.
Just saying, had to say.
His eyebrows really get you.
I don't know. He's not an unattractive man. I just thought that his hair looked strange, like almost like Ken doll uniformed.
Yeah. He looks smaller in this to me than he does in other roles. Mm. He looks very tiny, like compared to
it's his oversized leftovers.
He looks bigger.
But
I think if he was wearing like a dirty wife beater, we'd be like, eh.
Well, yeah, but then he'd have to sing "Born in the USA" or something. They can't afford it.
Or ask Drew Barrymore why she doesn't love him anymore, aka Charlie's Angels, aka Full Throttle. He was in that. He played the Irish man. In that.
In Full Throttle?
In Charlie's Angels Full Throttle.
The most essential American cinema.
With Demi Moore. He played the Irish villain. He's also in The Leftovers, which is really good.
Yeah.
So can we go back to Justin's fashion for a second? I think my favorite thing about this was Tom's budding relationship with Justin. Just based on how fashionable he is. Because that suit that you're talking about, Justin has an oversized suit. Tom apparently had the same one, but he had it in an extra small.
Justin should take Tom's advice. Maybe get a little bit of a smaller suit.
Maybe just get it fit next time, guy.
Brooks Brothers.
Mm. Brooks Brothers, yeah.
I definitely wrote down Tom's man crush on him.
Yeah.
It's a but alternatively, nobody else in the show really likes him. It's Anne, Leslie, and Tom. And that's it, really. Everybody else is kind of sour on him.
Yeah.
Ron hates everyone, of course. Andy hates him as a sexual competitor, and so does Mark with Anne. Yep. Both of them think that they belong to Anne.
April hates him just to hate him.
April hates him because Andy hates him, pretty much. And that's that. I mean, let me ask you guys this question, which I've never actually brought up with anyone, but I thought about the show a million times when I watched season 1 and 2. Mark's supposed to be, like, a ladies' man, right?
Yeah.
We've talked about this.
Have you talked about this? I'm sorry.
It's a little unfortunate.
And you're kind of confused, like,
how he could be.
I don't see it either.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see any They just kind of, they do a lot of telling and not showing about
They really play it up in the first season, you know, of, like, yeah. Tom wanting to go out with him because he thinks, like, he'll learn some game and, like, pick up tricks. You just don't get it.
I don't get it at all. I mean, he's fine.
Yeah, he's just okay.
He's fine.
He's fine. And not fine in the sense of, like, he's not damn, fine. He's fine. But just like, he's okay.
Just a man.
Yeah, well, maybe
just
he'll, a guy.
He look like just a man.
Maybe he'll tragically die in a city planning accident.
Oh, God.
What is it? Who said that? Was that Leslie?
That was Anne.
Was it Anne?
It was Anne.
Oh, yeah.
Because
Brent Danowitz, he's like, he's funny in the show. Like his one-liners are funny. He's kind of trying to, I think they're trying to Jim Halpert him a lot.
We talked about that as well, that we think that he was maybe supposed to be a love interest for Leslie.
Yeah, more outgoing Jim Halpert.
And then they just, the chemistry wasn't right, so they just kind of backed out on it.
I cut it. Yeah. Oop, nope, go the other way.
Because even in, I mean, he has kind of like a Jim Halpert look.
Right.
Too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
And maybe the reason for that is because I know that there was a lot of feedback from season one that people were like, people didn't like seeing Leslie as a foil to Steve Carell, and what that entailed was her being ditzy, when she's supposed to be this, you know, she ends up being, like, this incredibly strong female character, and, like, that's almost, like, a gag in itself, but it is, like, a genuine character trait, and they really start to build that up and by making her not fawn over this guy who's clearly not interested in her.
That's one of, like, the little holes in the show that kind of gets me every once in a while. Is that they do alter her character to make her very well-rounded and that she is very, she's very good at what she does and she's nice to everybody. But when she's mean to Jerry, I understand it, like, from a comedy standpoint, it's really good, but, like, it kind of is, like, doesn't feel right when she does it. It's always just, like,
God, I so desperately want to reference things that haven't occurred yet.
Yeah, that's I can just bleep it out. You can just go ahead and go.
No, it's okay. We can roll
this
forward.
This is a 5-minute Andy rant, and...
Yeah. No, that's good.
Rant over.
So anyway, hey, Will Arnett's in this episode.
Yeah.
That's right!
So that's who she ends up getting set up with is Will Arnett, who is her husband at the time.
Yeah. At the time.
So it's kind of painful to watch now.
They separated in 2012.
It was super cute at the time, too, because, like, there were comedies, like... Golden
power
couple. Everybody knew about them too.
Yeah,
and them
actually,
too.
God them too. Me.
You can. The more that you're going to watch the rest of the season is when she's pregnant.
Yeah.
I looked that up too because I know that she's pregnant in one of the seasons and it's this one. It's
going to
be this one or it's going to be she has in August her kid.
You're talking about
So the end of this season.
Amy Poehler. Okay.
Yeah,
Amy thinking Leslie. It's like nope.
Not
at all.
No. Leslie.
Yes, Leslie. Nope.
That's always a fun thing.
That's her name.
Gotcha.
How they hide pregnancies.
But her
TV
being
shows.
Pregnant comes up, or her pregnant, like Leslie Nope's
having a good oven.
She's got a good industrial strength oven, I believe. Was
she could have triplets right off the bat if she wanted to?
Yeah, right.
Do it.
That's just a medical opinion from Will Arnett.
Yeah, Will Arnett, the MRI
technician.
By the way, I've taken MRIs, and it is really frustrating when the tech or whoever is like. All right, and I'll be very, very still, and then they'll talk to you. Like,
yeah, they actually do that.
Yeah,
they do that. They aren't as like aggressively like,
please
stop moving. Like they don't do that, but they will ask you things like, but you're more uncertain about how much is too much, and it's almost like being an eye doctor and not being sure which one A or B is better. And you're like,
They're both the same.
Big decision.
Or when you're at the dentist and they're just like, so how's your week going? You're like,
that's the worst.
Yeah, that is the worst.
I mean, if I were
you doing good?
Like
if I ever had like a medical degree, and I would just be completely silent whenever I'm reviewing these patients.
I doubt that very much.
Be like, you know, just be really quiet, you know, do your thing, and then, you know, have the conversation afterwards.
Brad, I feel like you would be, like, the medical equivalent of a super trooper and just fuck with people a little bit.
I might do that, too.
Next time I'm in that situation, I'm just going to be completely silent, like, awkwardly silent. Just not respond to anything that they say.
Are you dead? No. Okay.
I'll talk to you when I'm good and goddamn ready.
I pay your salary.
We got a motorcycle douchebag outside. Everybody.
Ooh, motor douche.
Motor douche. He probably reads Pure Muscle magazine.
Sponsor time.
So going more with the Will Arnett's character, Chris, he is so awkward.
Yeah.
And there was really no point. We thought about taking some sound bites of what he says, but it doesn't sell it unless you see his look on his face every single time.
Plus, every single line is noteworthy, man. The best thing that in my opinion, the best part of his whole thing is while they're at dinner, he goes, "Hey, watch this." And he's like, does this total, like, awful first date thing where he's like, "Hey, watch this. I'm going to put out this candle with just my bare hand." And he puts his finger on it and he puts it out and he's holding it. And as he's holding it for like a second, almost like prove it. And he just makes the most god awful face I've ever seen. He goes, like, holds it for just a second.
It's like a baby.
Yeah.
Baby eating an onion.
He's like trying to smile so hard. Yeah. It's the best. I mean.
And then after that, though, what made me cringe is he puts his fingers in Leslie's water.
Oh, it's so gross.
And then she offers it to him, and he's like, "Oh, I'm not thirsty." It's like, man, perfect storm.
I made a note that Leslie's basically living like the bad date that she and Anne practiced for earlier in the season. You know, like the practice date with Anne obviously worked. You know, because she's not as nervous about dating and stuff. She's ready to hop in there, and then also, you know, she was prepared for this absolutely terrible date with her actual real life husband, Will Arnett.
Will Arnett.
Well, ex husband. Shit.
Maybe this was the.
Does anyone know why they divorced? I didn't research that.
She wasn't into the orgies.
Really?
No, I don't know. She was probably into them.
Probably irreconcilable.
She was too into
them. It was him that wasn't into them.
Yeah, my favorite line of what he actually said was.
Sometimes smiling is red as AIDS.
It was sent so quickly, too.
Yeah.
You could just
try not to smile, which is obviously the best thing you want on a first date, is somebody your date to tell you try not to smile for any reason. Right. So it's really important that you try not to move, communicate, or enjoy yourself in any way.
That and at the end of their date, whenever she realizes she drove him home, so he can't just leave, and he's like, "Hey, can we stop by and go pick up my son, Nate," or something like that, from his basketball game?
He also said at one point, and this came up out of nowhere. He just said, "You know the movie The Matrix?" She goes, "Yeah." He goes, 99% real. <I'm> like, what?
I just watched The Matrix last night.
Oh, really?
For the first time.
How well do you know?
Not that well.
Well, you want me to watch it again.
Okay. I actually really like Equilibrium, and I feel like I get a lot of my awesome fight moves from that movie, which is... kind of reminded me of The Matrix, but apparently The Matrix is, like, super awesome and people love it, so yay, Matrix!
I just want to point out that you said you get your awesome fight moves.
Yeah, I need them on the daily. Like I got some people clocking me downtown, downtown Jacksonville, right. Now it's a dangerous place.
I'm a little worried.
So, but... I would like to say that Key and Peele they're making a new movie called Keanu. I was really disappointed.
What?
Called Keanu?
Keanu.
Okay.
Nothing about Keanu Reeves, though. It's about a cat.
What is it about?
A cat named Keanu.
Name after Keanu Reeves?
No, I mean, I don't know.
It better be.
Possible.
That cat better fucking be named after Keanu Reeves.
Are you looking up to make sure that this is real?
You hear this, Key and Peele? If you're listening, you need to put Keanu Reeves in this movie at some point.
Oh, Keanu.
Are you sure it's not one of their skits?
No.
Okay.
I would watch the movie Keanu about Reeves. Man.
I was really just, this episode, Anne, she killed me in this episode. I don't think, it frustrated me that she felt she could dictate who Leslie should and should not date because of her feelings for Justin. And also, like, that's just a shitty thing to do to Mark. And I actually kind of really liked Mark in this episode because he stood up for himself with Anne. He actually got a couple of brownie points for me in this one.
Any enemy of Anne's is a friend of yours?
Yeah, but it's like classic. Never mind. Not going to say it. Spoiler.
I guess
my brain just worked too fast for my mouth.
I'm curious though. What is the hierarchy of people that you hate in the show? Like Mark, and then Anne, and then Mark.
I think Anne moved up to the top right now. Mark's like maybe like
an
inch
Mark too.
Below.
Oh yeah, we're
not like that big of a fan of Mark. He's like increasingly gotten a little bit better for me, but I feel like he's mostly just a wet blanket, and I'm not interested in anything that has to do with him.
This and there's one other episode I can think of, which I don't think has happened yet. That he really, in my opinion, shines better than most. So, but like, typically he's set dressing.
I'm just gonna say it's like classic TV show. They, you know, you necessarily don't like someone, but then, like, as soon as you start to like them, boom, they're gone, or, like, they die or something, or, like, as soon as they start to redeem themselves, it's like...
They have to... This show is, like, famous for its ability to sort of move with...
It's just, like, every relationship I've ever had.
That's how George R.R. Martin does it.
Every relationship I've ever had ended with them moving.
Game of Thrones literally runs away with that concept of just setting you up to like somebody and then just killing them dead.
That's why I can't watch that show.
Yep.
Bye.
So, going along with all that, Andy... almost tricking Anne
into a relationship with him.
Yes, ah, this close.
That was a nice follow-up to the previous episode whenever they're playing pool.
Oh, yeah.
Andy and Mark are playing pool, and he was just like, well, you're mine, say your goodbyes.
I know legally she don't belongs to me. Right. Speaking of Andy, one thing I noticed, again, another set piece that I never noticed, that's more of what I noticed now because I've seen it more times, but... There are pictures on Andy's little nook area.
Uh-huh.
There are pictures on the wall of Andy, like, hugging people in the chair and stuff like that.
I saw an arm wrestling.
Yeah, there's an arm wrestling one in the next episode, too. I was like, that's great. He's just, like, having the best time shoe shining.
Yeah.
And we get a little bit more of April and Andy's possible love affair, with April suggesting he sells his Mouse Rat CDs in his booth, which he does start to do, and he actually makes $10.
Guys.
And...
Number one on iTunes right now.
Exactly.
Mm.
Oh. That's what I'm listening to. No.
Is this the first episode we see Jean Ralphio?
It is his first episode.
There we go.
God, I love him so much.
So, Jean Ralphio.
Yeah, Adam right here. Leave a message after the beat.
I wish he would have went beep.
I wish he would have gone beep.
Beep. Beep.
Or even if Tom just said it.
Beep. That would have been great too. Yeah.
Jean Ralphio is one of the best recurring characters on this show.
Man, like, I don't think I was sold on Jean Ralphio on this one originally. Like, I like him now, obviously.
Right.
But, and this episode, I was like, what the hell is that? And then when they brought him back, I wasn't so sure, but it was an episode coming up, and his interactions with Donna is one of the funniest parts of the whole series to me.
Yeah.
It's his first interaction with Donna. Oh, man. It'll happen. It'll happen soon.
Keep your ears peeled.
Jean Ralphio is one of the few characters that I don't feel like ever actually develops or changes in the show.
That's perfect for him.
No character arc at all.
If anything, he descends further into madness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is Jean Ralphio through and through.
Through and through.
He's probably one of my favorite shitty characters that they have ever.
And they have a couple.
Yeah.
And he's introduced to us because Ron is looking for an assistant to keep the crazies away who want to sit more and who hate pottery. So he needs an assistant to kind of like be his, I guess, castle wall.
Mm-hmm.
To not break through into his castle, because he is the king of everything. And so Tom suggests Jean Ralphio, and he comes in for an interview, and he's just completely and utterly ridiculous.
Yep. So,
but do you think that Jean Ralphio would have been perfect for what Ron really wanted, and that's for somebody to drive people away? I think if he was the one answering the phone there... There would be zero calls transferred to him. Nobody would want to talk to him. They would leave immediately. So, I mean,
well, maybe backfired. There's a lot of crazy, like, I feel like he would get a lot of calls. He's a sociable person. He knows a lot of people. He could put himself out there.
Yeah.
I think he would get a lot of calls, but Ron would not.
Yeah.
I think he'd just be fucking off with Tom the whole time. Like, people would go into Ron's office because he'd be off fucking around with Tom and not doing his job.
That's probably true, actually. I mean, he would not be a good choice for Ron, though, because he's not aggressively mean enough. That's what Ron really wants, is somebody to literally frighten people away.
But luckily, in this episode, Ron does find the perfect fit, and that's somebody who's already working in the office.
Who is it, Brad?
That's April. April Ludgate.
I'm sorry, I stole that reveal.
So let's play a quick speed round of, if you were interviewing somebody for Ron, what would you ask them?
Oh, God.
What's your favorite kind of meat?
That's a good one.
Yeah. I would say, pretend I'm somebody who just came in and asked for Ron. tell me exactly what you would scream at my face.
What would yours be?
I would ask him how much whiskey they can drink.
There you
go. Yeah. How many calls a day are you going to take?
Yeah. Zero.
Have you ever seen a phone before? No.
How fast can you close a door on somebody's face?
Yeah.
Or what would you use to destroy this phone?
Probably the number one question would be, how much can you lift? Because you got to literally throw people out of here.
I love that we're getting a little bit peek of into Ron's kind of like off the grid insanity, yeah, like stuff that he does, that he rips the phone jack out of the wall and then hammers a cell phone.
Yeah. I'm actually amazed he had a cell phone in the first place.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the thing, is like, that's Ron also backslides in that capacity to even more of a Luddite, because early in, and that's character development, really. Like, I'm sure if they could go back and erase moments where he's used technology, they would.
Yeah.
But, you know, they didn't have to. It works still. It just works as character development.
Yeah.
Well, even his explanation for, like, why he has a phone is just ridiculous. He says that all of his friends that have this phone number know not to call it.
Yeah.
So it's like, why? So. I don't even have it.
Perfect.
So I think this is a good segue into who you would think the MVP would be for this episode.
I chose Andy. And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
he makes Anne realize that she's being a bitch about Justin. And kind of, he's like the last leg in it. You know, like, Mark has some conversations with her about it, but Andy's kind of like the final nail in the coffin of, like, take a look in the mirror at yourself, you big hoe bag. That's the worst thing I can say about Anne, is that she's a big hoe bag. And then also, he unknowingly keeps April in the Parks Department, because a little sidebar of the episode is that April's, you know, she makes a comment like, God, I can't wait to get out of here. And then Andy shows affection, and she wants to stay, and offers herself up as the assistant.
Aww.
Thanks, Andy. Love you, boo.
No problem.
Not you. I really need to. I'm just kidding. Aww. Love you, Gaddis. So
mine would be April, because she nailed the fuck out of that interview. There's no better interview for Ron, that position for Ron Swanson, than that one she gave, where she literally slammed the door into the face of Tom, who was the active craw in his, you know, or whatever, the problem that he was facing at the moment. You know what I mean? That's perfect.
Yeah.
And she did it for selfish reasons, which is also true to the character. So
it's true.
Perfect.
All right.
Brad?
I have to go with Leslie Knope on this one, just for putting up with that date with Will Arnett.
That's what I put.
Oh my god,
it's like you guys are like married or something. Yeah,
it's like you guys share a bank account. So
weird. Yeah, we have to be happy, otherwise there's a lot of
turmoil. Okay.
Oh god!
Okay. There's really not that many to choose from in this episode of who would be an MVP. Yeah. So even if I chose something different,
Mark is okay.
Mark does okay, but I don't think there was anybody that really I was like, that stood out at all to me on this. Even Leslie, I mean, she didn't do much. She just went on a date with this terrible person.
I mean, I could say, for the sake of an argument, you know, Ron could be one of it for being a good sport. You know, going through all of Tom's shenanigans of, like, these are the people that I'm introduced because I just asked them about, you know, what tie they would choose and if you'll go on condom runs, which is weird.
That's weird.
Yeah. You don't do that for your boss.
You want ribbed?
Well, yeah. So I also think that after the date, Leslie picked Nate up.
She probably did.
I'll bet you she did. It's kind of
who's Nate?
Will
Arnett's son. Remember, he says, like,
oh, totally. Yeah. She's such a good person.
She would totally do it. I mean, if you really want to do rock, paper, scissors, then I'll just go for Ron.
It's fine. You guys just, you know, just take the gate with Leslie.
All right. Maybe we'll disagree in the next episode.
Congrats, hey. Leslie. No.
Wow.
Sounds so sad.
I'm just kidding. Nice
baby.
Love her. Good job putting up with your hubby at the time.
You did it.
So who wants to go first in rating?
Not me.
Make Andy do it again.
Okay. It's out of five, correct?
It's out of five.
All right. I've listened to your podcast before.
You got this. You got this.
I think I'm going to do... I do like this episode, but it's not... like, in knowing the full breadth of how great episodes can be, I'll put it at a solid three... Let's just call it three pictures of Andy arm wrestling people.
I like it. That's good.
So, this episode, like, I wasn't a huge fan of it, to be honest.
Really?
I mean, I thought that it was kind of lacking for me. So, I have to give it 2 out of 5 Leslie Knope sandwiches. Which we didn't talk about this episode.
What is a Leslie Knope sandwich?
Leslie has a sandwich named after her by the local deli, which I feel like Leslie's got a lot of things kind of named after her. She even has a drink at the Bulge. That's named after her. But this is a sandwich consisting of salami on pumpernickel with olive oil and iceberg lettuce.
Extra iceberg lettuce.
Not just the normal amount, more than that.
That's an unideal sandwich.
Yeah, it sounds really bad.
She was named at the Bulge because of her gay rights stance. Mm-hmm. But the reason she got the sandwich, she says in this episode, is because she asked for it and it was the only sandwich on the board without a name. So, I mean, she's like, I only wish I liked it. Which was great.
I'm going to rate this one. I thought it was pretty funny. It isn't one of the funniest ones. Sorry.
You're fine.
It isn't one of the funnier episodes, but a lot happened in it, and it had a lot of good things in it. So I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5 using F-bombs, which is frivolous.
I know. They sounded so turned on by that. Like, oh, yeah. Use the F-bomb.
Frivolous.
I'm giving it a 4 out of 5 as well. I thought it had a lot going on and kind of, even though there was so much going on in the episode, it really kept like a cohesive structure and didn't seem too busy or too lacking. So I gave it a 4 out of 5 AIDS smiles. Bringing it down.
AIDS smiles. Man.
There was a smudge on the computer.
Was that one of Andy's band names or what?
No, it was...
I'm joking.
We have another one that's on there.
Oh, the only other thing that we didn't mention was the Leslie stole the Officer of the Month frame that has Dave Sanderson on it. I was going back and forth. I was like, if nobody says it, I'm going to say it.
Seems quite uncharacteristic of her to steal something from the government.
What's in the bread?
That we missed Leslie looking forward to writing Justin later. And then she was like, oh, wait, no.
Tom is still wearing his wedding ring.
I wrote that down in both episodes, this one and the next one.
Yeah.
Trickery.
Aww. I know. Kind of made me a little bit sad.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for episode 10, part 1. Tune in later on in the week where we will post episode 10, part 2, where we will discuss episode 14, Leslie's House with Andy. You can email us at podsandrec@gmail.com. That's podsandrec@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at podsandrec. Once again, that's podsandrec. We appreciate you so much for listening, and we hope you have a great rest of your week. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Fire in a Can. Tired of sending your frenemies glitter bombs? Fire in a Can is the newest, dopest, trillest, illest, chillest product on the market.
My milk's too cold.
Fire in a can saves your ass. That baby's gonna be like, damn, this milk be hot. Fire in a can, because who wouldn't want a can of fire?